Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to our group coaching call here for April 10th. It's great to be here with you guys. And before we get to housekeeping and live Q&A, I just wanted to welcome the new folks in the group. We have a few new people joining us in this journey. So welcome. Hopefully we'll hear from some of you today. And in terms of what we do here, this is an opportunity for us to have some one-on-one discussion. So nothing is off limits. I encourage you to just ask whatever you are having some trouble with, whatever you find confusing, if you have a specific situation. If you need help trying to narrow down your positioning, or if you have a few choices that you're not really sure about, whatever, you have an opportunity right now, maybe like way ahead of where you are right now in this journey. This happens. You're starting to really figure out your positioning, and suddenly you talk to someone in your network and you have an opportunity to maybe do some work for someone through a friend of yours. And you're freaking out because you're not sure how to price it, how to talk about it, how to handle the situation. I'm here for you. That's why we have these calls. And there's a couple of ways you can ask questions and we can have a conversation. So every call that we have will have its own page inside the training portal. And there you have three ways that you can join the call. If you join me via phone, regular phone, cell phone, or through the web call feature, we're able to have a conversation. And I'll show you in a minute how you can raise your hand. The other way is there's a chat feature there where you can just type in your question, and you can do that at any time. You can do that days in advance if you wanted to. Some people do that. As they think of questions, they go in there, and they submit questions they want me to address in the next call. So just pick the call that's coming up next. Go ahead and type in your question, and I will answer it during the call. In fact, I'll always start these calls with pre-submitted questions. But if you can, and if you're on the call, really the best way is to raise your hand and I'll unmute you and we can just have a chat. And that way we can talk through your question, through your issue. The way to raise your hand is by dialing *2 on your telephone keypad, *2. I believe it's the same thing on the web call. I believe there's a dial pad there and you just do *2, or maybe it's changed recently. Maybe there's a raise hand button. But either way, just raise your hand. I will see you, and I'll unmute you. Everyone, when you join this call, is automatically muted. So you don't need to mute yourself. In fact, that just creates a little bit of confusion because sometimes people mute themselves. I'll unmute them, and then they're talking, and they don't realize that I can't hear them. So no need to do that on your end. Don't worry. Everyone coming in is automatically muted. We're here for, you know, usually about 90 minutes or so. Sometimes we go a little bit longer, depending on the number of questions. And one other thing I wanted to mention is this is also an opportunity to have me review your website copy. Now, my recommendation is everyone gets one website review. We do them live here in these calls. My recommendation would be to go through session 2 first. You want to do your very best based on what I share with you there. But you don't want to waste that opportunity before having gone through that material and implemented some of what I share with you there. So once you go through that, you've made the necessary changes if you already had a website copy or you've created your own based on what you learned there, then just go ahead and post it in your URL or your Word document in the website review thread. And that's in the forum, the Facebook forum. There's a specific thread for that. Just post it there, and then on the next call, I always look there to see if anyone's posted something for me to review, and I will do a live review with you here on the call and give you very specific tips and advice. So those are just a few things. I'm sure I'm forgetting a few others, but one more thing. In terms of these calls, we're always recording them, and we will post the replay recording within 24 hours. So tomorrow you'll get an email with a link to the replay, and all that is stored inside the training portal. And I say that because I don't expect you to make every single call. I would commit to making as many of these as possible, I get feedback all the time from people who say, you know, I don't ask a lot of questions, but I learned so much from listening to others' questions and then, you know, the discussions they have with you. So just commit to being in here as many times as you can, and just know that if you can't attend a call, don't worry. We're publishing the replays the next day, and I encourage you to go through those because, again, even if you didn't have any questions of your own, you can learn a lot from the discussions that I have with others. So in terms of asking your question, again, star two on your telephone keypad. That will raise your hand, and my system keeps a queue so I know who raised their hand first, and we can just go down in order. So right now it's an open floor. Let me check to see if anyone had pre-submitted something. I hadn't seen anything earlier. No, nothing here. So, yeah, feel free, star two. And if you want to introduce yourself, if you're new to the group, would love to hear from you also. All right. So we have a shy group again this week. Aha, we got, all right, this looks to be a Columbus, Ohio number. You are on. Who's this?
Hey, Ed. This is Arun, so I'm actually part of the new group.
Yeah, hey, welcome, Arun. How are you?
Thanks. Good. Good, how are you?
Doing well. It's great to have you here.
So excited to be able to make the bonus call. I appreciate the invite to those of us who are just starting out now and in our first couple of weeks. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, welcome. Welcome. How's it going so far?
So far, so good. I'm in the middle of session two, actually going through what copy I had already created, but it's been a great help so far just looking at the way you structure stuff and going through the templates. Still early on in the stages, and I know you answered that question I had about the lead magnet a few days back.
Yeah.
So it's been cool just to put some structure to this effort and kind of give myself a way forward. So pretty good so far, but still early on. So
okay.
Looking forward to hear from other folks who are farther along in the process too.
Absolutely. Well, hey, man, it's great to have you here. And, you know, your question made perfect sense. And I can tell that, you know, that it resonated with you, my answer. So it's the whole idea is, you know, don't stop to try to create some samples for the sake of, you know, having some samples out there. Just keep moving through the process,
yep.
and you'll see. I mean, it'll just happen. I find that if you stop for too long to try to do some of those things, you lose momentum, and it's easy to suddenly get lost, and trying to find your way back is challenging.
Well, and I was definitely turning it into a much bigger project. So especially when you said, you know, you described it more as a cheat sheet or a checklist, more like a bullet point list versus, you know, a paragraph by paragraph essay. That did a lot to simplify the concept in my mind. But I also put it aside so that I could focus on the sessions, and that's been helpful too because it's kind of gave me the excuse to say I don't need to focus on this right now because it's not going to be the first thing, you know, I present to a prospective client. So.
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what I'd be happy to do if you think this would help? And again, I know this is not no longer like a huge priority for you, but I'm happy to post a couple of samples up there of checklists and cheat sheets just so you can see. I mean, we're talking a couple of pages usually. Sometimes I put a little bit too much in there, but the whole idea is to strive for bare bones because – if you think about this, like we want to deliver a lot of information, a lot of value to prospects, right? But a busy prospect, what they want is not necessarily the full answer. If you're trying to get them to opt into something, it's going to be easier, everything else being equal, to get them to opt into something it feels like they can consume right away than something that's going to take much more time and effort. And if you put yourself in their shoes, let's say you're planning a vacation out west this summer. And
yep.
You know, I was actually doing this last night. I was looking for trips out west with kids. And I don't want the whole rundown of every possible, like, national park. And so I want, like, give me the highlights. you know?
Yeah.
Give me 10 things to consider, because I can learn so much more from that, and then that's going to maybe guide my decision. And that, to me, right now, is more important than trying to know everything about Yellowstone, for instance. So
right.
Keep that in mind.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be the samples would be great just as a starting point if you're able to do that. I think the idea that you only want to give them so much makes sense, too, because I'm guessing part of it is to get them to want to ask more questions. So they have to – ideally, they would return contact to you and say, hey, this line in here or what you say about doing this or that, this sounds like something we will need help with, and then that's what generates the conversation that you hope ultimately turns into a working relationship. So, yeah, that'd be awesome if you're able to do that.
Perfect. I'll just made a note to post a couple of samples for you. Super. Well, hey, welcome. Great to have you here, Arun. And by the way, guys, it's just a little bit of background. So Arun had posted something in the forum, a question last week about he was working on creating a lead magnet, something he was already kind of halfway through. And he just had some questions about that. And my suggestion was, part of his motivation for it was he wanted to have a writing sample. So it was kind of doing double duty, have a lead magnet and something he could use as a writing sample. I said, don't worry about writing samples right now. Let's just narrow down your positioning. Let's get your website up there. And, you know, you don't necessarily need a page with samples yet. So, at any rate, that's the continuation from that discussion. So, but keep in mind, guys, in this process, again, a lead magnet is not part of it. If you already have something like he had, he was halfway through, and something like, I mean, it can't hurt, but I find that this is the kind of thing that it's easy to get distracted with, and it's easy to kind of lose sight, and kind of falls into the shiny object category, potentially, when we're trying to stay really, really focused and trying to land that first paying client as quickly as possible. That's really the number one goal, and that's not a necessary step right now. So, okay, so again, star two, if you have a question or want to have a chat here. Susan just sent in a comment. She said, welcome to new members. You will love how supportive the group is and especially how supportive Ed is. Well, thank you, Susan. For me, the best piece of counsel he gave was, done is better than perfect. I was spinning my wheels and delaying things, trying to get everything just right, but Ed is right. And hearing that and reading that more than once was a kick in the pants I needed. Thanks for that booty kicking, Ed. You're welcome. Yeah, so you guys will find very quickly that done is better than perfect is one of the key mantras here. Baby steps is another one. All these kind of complement each other, but you're going to hear a lot of that from me because it's. I find that it's I've been in your shoes, and I needed to hear that a bunch of times before it finally sunk in. I didn't have the context at first. It just sounded theoretical. Oh, yeah, that sounds cute. I get it. But I had to keep reminding myself of that when I went through this process in order for it to really sink in. So great insight and feedback, Susan. Thank you, and glad that that kick in the pants was helpful. I'm a nice guy, but just know that you guys will get. I will push you. So that's part of what we're working on here. All right. So let's see. We got Rafiq out in L.A. Hey, Rafiq, how's it going?
Hey, Ed. I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Good talking to you.
Great, thank you. Yeah, and also want to extend a warm welcome to all the new members. Yeah, you'll find this process really, really great. It's helped me for sure. So my question to you, Ed, is I had this one client I was developing that I think I mentioned to you on a previous call that I met at the tech fair in L.A., and he reached out to me and wanted to get an understanding of the case study writing process. I gave him a detailed process outline based on Casey Hibbert's book. And now, for some reason, they seem to have gotten stuck on the process on the first stage, which is getting approvals and making sure that the clients are okay, as opposed to I thought I could run with it for them and reach out on their behalf. Mm-hmm. And so I was wondering if you had any suggestions, or I might try to get back in touch with them and say, hey guys, if you're stuck, or, you know, I can, you know, you can, I can handle this for you too. Do you have any ways on how I could tactfully do that?
In terms of handling the customer approval process?
Yeah.
Yeah, typically it's going to be better if your client handles that. And the reason is they're the ones who have the relationship. If you try to take it on, it's not going to be as effective on one hand. And second, you could create a pretty big job for yourself and an expectation. You could set a dangerous expectation. Not dangerous, you know, like, you know, you're going to get sued, but dangerous as in they think that you're going to make some magic happen when you don't really have the tools, you know, to do that in many cases. But if you feel, based on what you know about them and the situation, that it would help, I would just say, listen, I'm happy to help you with that. Would you mind if I try contacting your customer gently just to see if I can get that moving? So you want to create this feeling of, you know, let me take that off your shoulders. You can trust me that I'm going to be respectful. I'm not going to pester them. But I know that it requires a good amount of follow-up, gentle follow-up. Why don't you let me try it? And in that way, it's one less thing on your to-do list, something like that,
okay.
If you wanted to take that on. But I guess my main point was that's not something you typically want to take on. In the spirit of at first you should say yes to everything, I'm okay with it, but just know that going forward it's not going to be something that's expected of you, is I guess my point.
Got it. I guess I'm just trying to move things along.
I don't blame you.
Things along. Okay.
Yeah, you're doing whatever, you know, whatever it takes. But you can imagine, right, like handing you those keys is it takes a certain amount of trust. So if you haven't even – I can see that happening maybe down the road once you've done some work for them and they're really happy with you and you become more of a trusted advisor. But you haven't even – you know, you're still kind of in the dating stages right now. You haven't even gotten married. So it's going to be a little harder, I think, for them to trust you with that.
So in that case, just maybe follow up every week if I don't hear back?
Yeah. I mean, at first, and then back off if you don't get responses. You know, and then when I say back off, I mean back off from following up specifically on this. The way I follow up from there is more on the nurturing side, you know, which I recently covered, right? With the nurturing, you're still staying in touch, but rather than, hey, what's going on with this project, your staying in touch method is, hey, I came across this article recently on case studies I thought you'd find interesting. Hope you're doing well. Here you go. Because you're just trying to keep your name in mind.
Actually, that was going to be my follow-up question, which is that, you know, let's say in the meantime I've done something else or even created like a spec collateral for another client I'm trying to close, I could share that with this prospective client too, right? If it's not NDA covered or if it's sanitized.
Yeah, anything to keep your name top of mind, because they'll put two and two together, right? If they see your name, they're going to go,
right.
Oh, you know what? I got to get back on this. But we need to follow up with our customer on this case study. And that's more effective. If they're the ones who realize they need to get back on it, that's more effective than you saying, hey, let's get going here.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
You are welcome, Rafiq, and good luck, man. I the good thing is you're working on a couple of things, right? So this could turn from, you know, you're sitting here hurrying up and waiting to I got way too much on my plate.
I did get my first payment, so that's good.
Awesome. They paid you a 50% deposit?
No, this is the retainer client that I closed.
The retainer one. Yes,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's legit. Now it's official.
Yes.
Congratulations on that. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Gladys, you are on. How are you?
Hi, Ed. I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing well. Good talking to you.
Great. I also want to welcome everyone who's new here. But for me, it's been however many weeks, and I think this is going to be my last call. So I just want to thank you and thank Crystal for all the help and all of the things that you've taught me. It's been beyond my expectations. I thought I was going to be on these calls for like a year. I thought I'm going to be the very final one hanging on there, you know, for the 365th day. But here I am. So I just want to thank you. It's been fun.
Oh, that's awesome, Gladys. So happy for you. And you have momentum on your side. So really that's your job, is to keep that momentum up. And but that's much more fun than trying to land the first client, right?
Oh, for sure. but the sweaty palms don't really go away when you press that send button, do they?
No, they don't. And the challenges don't go away. It's just you have different challenges, you know.
I have learned so much, and these calls have been very, very helpful. And I'm going to go and review things, you know, all the different videos and handouts. I'm going to review things as, you know, things come up. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Gladys. That's a great idea to keep reviewing it. And, you know, that's, now that she's brought it up, let me just echo that, is for those of you who are kind of wrapping things up, just make sure that you go back to the material at least once. It's amazing what happens when you go back to it weeks later. You have a totally different context now because you've already gone so far ahead that when you go back to some of the material, you'll see that you miss some things the first time around because you were trying to take it all in trying to implement the ideas. But once you've implemented them and then you've gotten yourself out there and started knocking on doors and maybe landed that first client, it doesn't really matter. You can always come back to this material. I've had people come back and tell me, man, 2 years later I went back to it, and it's like it's as if it was totally new to me. And I finally got so much that I didn't get the first time around. So strongly recommend that everyone do that at some point, whether it's, 8 weeks after or, you know, 8 years later. It doesn't matter. It's still going to be relevant because this is all focused on fundamentals, not flash-in-the-pan tactics that are going to be gone tomorrow. For those of you who are starting now, so you're working through it a little differently than this previous group did it. So with the previous group, we were releasing sessions 1 week at a time. And now we're trying something a little different where you have access to all of it on demand, but you can't get to the next one until you finish the previous one. So just know that it's all available. You can go through it at your own pace. My strong recommendation, however, would be to budget about 1 week per session, and don't hit the completed button at the end of the session until you've actually implemented that material. So don't become the note taker, you know, the student who, okay, great, I got it, got my notes, let's go to the next one. And you've skipped the exercises, you've skipped the specific actions he needed to take. It's very important. The next lesson will not really make a lot of sense and will not be as helpful if you haven't actually implemented those ideas and done the homework, done the exercises. The one exception in terms of budgeting your time is right around your website phase, allow yourself a week of implementation time, an extra week of implementation time. You're going to need it, especially if you are starting from scratch with a new website. If you have an existing website and it's just a matter of revising the copy, it won't take you as long, but otherwise figure on an extra week for implementation around that time. Okay, so again, star two, if you have a question or want to talk through an issue or just introduce yourself, whatever you'd prefer. And while I'm thinking about it, just to, for those of you who are wrapping up right now, again, as always, if you haven't landed your first paying client yet, don't worry, you can continue to join me here and let me coach you for up to a year or until you land the first paying client. So, I don't know about you, but I know I'm very motivated by this thought of, okay, I'm already envisioning the day that I'm going to hit star two on my telephone keypad and tell Ed, this is my last call, buddy. I just landed my first paying client. So if you can have that as a vision, that can be very motivating, very helpful. All right, no questions. I find that hard to believe. Ah, we just had a brave soul. All right, this is California. This is a number out of California. I don't really have a name yet, though. You're on.
Hi, good morning. This is Mary from Rockland, California.
Hey, Mary, one of the two from
one
Rockland,
of the
California.
Two. You know what? The other lady and I live within like a mile apart. It's really
that
kind of crazy.
That is crazy.
It is. It
as
is.
Big as California is, what are the chances?
What are the chances? All right. When I tell people Rockland, everybody says, what? Where? You know, because it's this little podunk town north of Sacramento. I guess it's not so podunk anymore, but it used to be.
So that's one of the places we're looking into for the summer is kind of about that in that area. They're flying into Sacramento or San Francisco and either doing like Lake Tahoe or so many beautiful places around where you live.
Oh, definitely. I would say fly into Sacramento because Sacramento is only an hour and a half to 2 hours from everything, from the beach, from the mountains, from the snow, from the lake. And it's only an hour and a half into San Francisco, especially if you want to see museums and Golden Gate Park and the aquarium and all of that stuff that people normally do in San Francisco. But Sacramento's got a lot to offer too. Our state capital is a great place to visit.
Yes.
There's lots to do here. And so anyway, you probably, you know, I didn't call you to give you travel plans or, you know, anything like that.
That's all right.
No, I was trying to be a brave soul. I'm new to this group. I just joined yesterday. And, just a little bit about me. I'm actually, currently I'm a financial advisor. And I've been in the business for about 30 years. And I'm actually going to retire this year because my husband is also retiring from his job. And so I've always been interested in copywriting and in content, web content especially, and finally decided to take the plunge and say, all right, my job in retirement, you know, my retirement fund is going to be copywriting. I'm very excited about it.
I love it.
You know, one of the reasons I signed up is because, you know, I took your case studies course when I also took your warm email prospecting course. But when I saw this particular course, I thought, you know, this kind of rounds out everything. And especially with a group of people who are doing the same thing as me, I mean, it's, you know, can be very motivating.
Yes.
You know, it could be a real great journey. So I'm excited to, you know, get moving on this. I actually had to put plans aside for a little while, only because a few weeks ago I had back surgery. And so I'm home recovering from that, and I've been twiddling my thumbs wondering when I can get out in the world again. So this is going to be a good way to do it.
Yes, yeah. I guess if you're homebound, and then that's a great time to, I guess, start something that requires a little bit of focus, right?
Right, exactly. You know, there's only so many books you can read, only so many crafts you can do, only so many times you can watch the same stupid program on television.
Yes.
And then you're going, okay, what now? What do I do now?
Well, it sounds like you picked a good time to start. You said you're retiring this year, right?
I'm retiring at the end of this year, right. So now you know I'm an old hag, right?
Well, no, listen, you just started, really. This is like the next year will be the first year of the rest of your life.
Boy, that's for sure. So, actually, I do have a question, and I've been, you know, throwing this back and forth in my head a little bit. Because I'm a financial advisor, I have to have permission from my compliance department to do any outside business activity.
Mm-hmm.
And because I travel so much, I asked my compliance department to approve travel writing for me. And because I'm retiring, they were happy to do that. My husband and I actually travel to Europe, you know, quite a bit. We have friends in various places. So I'm interested in doing some travel writing. And I guess maybe I'm naive, and I'm embarrassed to even ask. I love writing case studies. I love writing blog posts. You know, I've written some stories. I've written a novel. Is the travel industry a good industry to be in for content writing, for web content, and maybe blog posts? And I'm trying to think of travel companies that would need case studies, or maybe that's far-fetched. What do you think?
Great question. And, you know, we have somebody else in the group too, Deb out of Oregon, who she didn't have that question in particular, I don't think, but she was struggling between writing for the travel industry and writing for the current industry that she's been working in for a long time. And I forget, I think it was in healthcare. I might be off here. But on one hand, so like you, right, this is the stuff I know. This is where I have contacts and relationships. But when she went through the positioning exercise, and I think she knew a little bit of she kind of felt this way going into it, but the positioning exercise, from what I remember, helped crystallize it. Because once she got to the third filter, which is the how do you feel about the topics and the people, she just didn't want to write about that. I mean, she knew it well. Everything else checked out, but this is why I have that filter there in the exercise, because that's an important consideration. Now, you have to weigh that against many different things. Like I had a similar situation when I was starting out. I knew software and tech, and I guess I was okay writing about it, but I had a passion, which I still do, which is wine. I wanted to write about wine.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The wine industry it's a funny industry when it comes to writing, because the little bit of writing that they do is usually done by a marketing firm or ad agency. There's not a ton of writing, especially content.
Right, okay.
So I had a practical element to consider, which is I'm the sole breadwinner for my family, so I can't afford for this to be just that's fine, just pay me $50 a post. You know, no, I needed,
yeah.
I needed a strong income. So
right.
I have to weigh all the different variables, right? So you're going to have to decide for yourself. But generally speaking, here's the way to think about it. Take a piece of paper and draw a matrix, four quadrants, four-quadrant mm-hmm. matrix. And on the column, so up on top, on the left side, put B2B, or B2C rather.
Okay.
On the right side, write B2B.
Okay.
And then on the rows, I'm thinking like Excel here, right? Write on the first row, copy, and on the second row, the bottom row, content.
Okay.
So what you're faced with is a combination of B2C and B2B and copy and content. And just to kind of show you where the money is, generally speaking, this doesn't hold true every time, but this is a useful
okay.
way to look at it, is B2C copy usually pays well, especially in hyper-competitive direct response industries, where
okay.
if you can give me, you know, an extra 0.5%, 1% response higher, that could translate into millions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
an extra
okay.
revenue. Okay. Copy in B2B, that's more, it's a lot of things, but it could be web copy, it could be email copy, it could be lead generating copy. And that pays well also, but it's harder
mm-hmm.
to get into at first. So that's the top right quadrant. So bottom left quadrant is content and B2C. Let me skip to the one after that. We'll leave that one for last. Content
okay.
and B2B. So that's the bottom right quadrant. That's going to pay really well because in B2B, especially industries that have to educate and have to come up with a lot of educational content, and
okay.
especially industries that are, right, that what they're selling is expensive, innovative, complex, that stuff is critical to the sales and marketing process. So that pays
okay.
well. But we're left with B2C content, and generally speaking, that doesn't pay very well.
Okay.
There are a lot of factors involved. One of them is the fact that what's being sold is not high margin. It's consumer products or services where it's really
okay.
about volume. And there's also a lot of writers in that space, right? A lot of writers who are willing
okay.
to write blog posts for $20, for instance.
Oh,
so,
I see.
Yeah, it can be competitive. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't pockets and opportunities. So this is one reason why it pays to be very specific with your positioning about what you bring to the table. So not that you would be saying this, but let me just so you can see the difference. If I said, oh, I write, you know, travel content or content for travel companies, and, what makes me different? Well, I've always loved to travel. As opposed to, yeah, I mean, it's a passion of mine. I love it. As opposed to, oh, I spent the last 23 years in the travel industry and in these capacities,
okay.
right? There's a huge difference there. In the latter example, I can make a strong case for why you don't want to, you know, I'm not going to be the $25 a post person, okay?
Right.
I bring more than that. I bring some strategy, some higher-level thinking, some advice that goes way beyond the words.
Okay. Somebody had told me as I was thinking about positioning, somebody actually did ask me, you know, well, what's so special about you? And I finally said, well, you know, look, I've been an advisor for 30 years. I'm a sole proprietor. I'm self-employed. I've run my own business. I know what people are up against. I know, you know, that every dollar counts. I know you need to rely on somebody who's got the expertise. And, you know, once you're comfortable with somebody, you want to be able to take their advice and not have to question it. And as an advisor out there, my philosophy has always been that, you know, I need to know my client well enough that they should never have to go look for another advisor. And so, you know, I was, you know, hoping to position some of that expertise in the world of, you know, writing. And, you know, I was trying to figure out, okay, what pieces and parts do I pull from that? You know, so as not to sound, you know, cocky, arrogant, you know, but somebody that people would be drawn to and could trust.
Well, I think you're onto something there. You know, one of the things mm-hmm. that I talk about in session one is this does not have to be an industry. You could focus mm-hmm. on a target market based on a attribute or set of attributes that you can describe
okay.
clearly. So, for instance, what you just said there, what if this is not actual copy, but what if you said something to the effect of, I write for companies and firms that need to have a strong bond and relationship with their clients, where that's the differentiator. So
okay.
if your business is relationship-based,
yeah.
right, and that could cover multiple mm-hmm. industries. You see, when I think
it.
There's something
yeah,
there
I see.
That's very attractive.
Okay. But now it's a matter
one,
of
yes.
kind of polishing and honing and figuring that part out, right?
Absolutely. So I think you can make a very compelling argument for that because of everything, by the way, and I hope you jotted down what you just said because I thought that was brilliant. Because
okay.
then – so there's two elements to this. One is defining that target audience based on those attributes that you said. Then the other one, which is complementary, they go together, is why you? And you just described it beautifully. I've been a sole proprietor. I've been in situations for decades where you had
mm-hmm.
to do this and do it well. Now I bring that to bear here. You know, I get it.
Okay.
I get you. I get the situation. It's a different mindset, and you need to approach the writing with that mindset for it to be effective.
Okay. Okay. That's good advice. I'll keep working on that, and I'll keep honing it because I thought, you know, that's the direction I wanted to go, and then I put it aside for a while, and I came back to it and thought, oh, man, I wonder if that's just cocky, arrogant, you know, but maybe not. So I'll keep working with it and see where it goes.
Absolutely. I think that's
yeah.
going to be – that's got much more promise than saying travel because I'm passionate about traveling.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I
know there's – you know, travel writers are a dime a dozen lately, I think, and I hope I'm not offending anybody by saying that, but, you know, the cream of the crop has to rise at the top here, and, you know, and if I go to somebody and say, oh, you know, yeah, I traveled in England several times. I usually go once a year. So, you know, go ahead and hire me, right? I don't think that's going to go over very well.
No, you need something that stands out, and that could be industry experience. It could be a life experience. If
mm-hmm.
you, I don't know, if you traveled out of a and you lived out of a backpack for the past 5 years, I mean, that is a life experience that
right.
you just can't read from a, you know, out of a book, right? You have to.
Right.
That's a very unusual
right.
experience. So,
and that would not be me.
yeah, I'm just giving you some random example. You need something that stands out, something that's unique.
Right. Okay.
Since we're on that topic, I just came across this yesterday, and I thought this is yet another great illustration of looking for attributes to define your target market, not necessarily an industry. Again, 80% of the time, you guys are it's going to be an industry. But for the 20% of you, like you, Mary, where, you know, you have to,
mm-hmm.
you can't go with the industry for certain reasons. Here's another example. This is my friend Michael Katz, and his son started a copywriting business. He's got a consulting business. He does a lot of writing with that as well. But they started a joint copywriting business, and they're not going after a specific target market. And they're not even using an attribute to describe their audience. They're going by the type of writing they do, which is one I typically don't recommend you follow when you're starting out. But as you realize what you're really good at as far as writing, it could be something to consider. So their whole thing is humorous business writing. And in their headline is humorous business writing, .. for serious businesses.
Oh, I like
so,
that.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's so clear.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. It's a business that, look, we have to be serious, but we want to be different. We want you to remember us when you're done reading about us. And he's
right.
really good at that. So that's the other thing. So that's the second mm-hmm. component. Okay, why you? Well, I mean, you just read his stuff and you realize this guy's got a great sense of humor. And he doesn't overdo it. He knows the balance, the right balance. So, in fact, the headline below that is, we're 98.2% sure we can help you out.
98.2%. I would call that guy just because of that.
There you go. So just another way, guys, to think through this stuff a little bit more creatively than just
okay.
an industry.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, good. You know, that gives me a lot of good advice and gets me excited to get going again. So thank you. Thank you for your advice. I'm really looking forward to being part of this group.
Well, great to have you here, Mary.
Thank you.
All right, get well.
I will, thanks.
All right, guys, star two, if you want to have a chat. See, we had a couple of questions come in through the webcast option. Alice, she says, I found your comment in the last session about how badly do you want this to be quite motivating. I've hit a snag with a big project related to my niche, and I'm struggling to balance time between the project and sending out warm emails, but I'm not giving up. Thanks for your support. Awesome. There you go. You know, as we talked about a few minutes earlier with Gladys, it's the challenges don't change, guys. You know, it's the first challenge you think is, gosh, if I could only land that first paying client, like everything would be so great. My world would be awesome. And it is. And it is momentarily. But then you got a different set of challenges. Now you got to do the work. Now you're nervous about doing it right and making the client happy. And then now you're nervous about continuing that momentum. And it just never ends. You could be doing $10,000 a month in income, and there's always a challenge. I mean, so the cool thing is you guys understand this. You guys are seasoned people. This is not your first challenging experience. I just want to reiterate the fact that, you know, we're focusing on a very specific goal here, landing that first paying client. But that is the first goal of many that you're going to have, the first big milestone. So thank you, Alice. Glad that was helpful. Let me know how I can support you there with that big project. You know, if there's anything I can do to support you there, I'm happy to do so. Deb said, hey, Ed, just letting you know I'm still here, sending out warm emails mostly to my network, needing a boost to start with people and businesses I don't know. Also wanted to say welcome to the new group. They won't be disappointed. Awesome. Great, Deb. Needing a boost to start with people and businesses I don't know. Yeah, you know what I would say, Deb, that's always scary. It's like, oh, man, you know, I had momentum with my network, but now these people I don't know. Often what I find gets people moving is reminding yourself that the worst thing that can happen is you get no response or you get a few no's. If you get a few, oh, thanks, we're not interested right now. That's the worst thing that can happen. And that's, when you put it that way, that's really not that bad. You know, it's not as bad as showing up at somebody's office and getting just rejected right there in person. Even though that's still not bad, that can hurt a lot more than than getting no response to an email. So just keep that in mind. And the hardest thing to do is to send out those first one or two emails. After that, it's just, you just do it as part of a process. In fact, I strongly encourage people, when you focus on emails, to set a goal for effort and not outcome. So set a goal for, I'm going to spend so much time this week sending out warm emails, or I'm going to send so many this week. It's up to you which one you pick, but notice both of those fall into the effort category, not in the outcome category, which is I'm going to get one positive response this week, or I'm going to land a client this week. Those are dangerous goals to set because you have no control over the outcome. You do have control, however, over your effort. So this is something else to keep in mind. All right, so star two, last call. I'm in no hurry, but I want to make sure I don't keep you guys here. If nobody has a question or they want to talk through anything, including travel plans for the summer, I'm here for you. Pretty bad. So, you know, we just came back from spring break at the beach. The kids had spring break. So last few years have just been better about planning something because for a few years we just stayed home and we realized that everyone got bored, mostly the kids. So we were at the beach. And it's funny, every time I'm at the beach toward the end, I start finding myself planning the next trip. I just can't. I don't know. I guess there's good and bad to it. So that's why I'm in that mindset right now. I just started thinking and brainstorming. Okay, maybe it's because I don't want it to end, and I just want it. Okay, when is the next cool break we could have and the next cool trip we could take? All right. See, Cheryl said or asked, "Hi, Ed, how often do you suggest we follow up with our warm emails with another email? Don't want to come off as being a pest or desperate." Yeah, great question. So for now, here's what I would suggest. And I got a little bit more detail on this in session 8. But I would say that one or two weeks after you sent the original email to someone, go ahead and send a follow-up email. And I have a very specific way of doing that, which I show you in session 8. So I won't go through all the detail, but so 1 to 2 weeks later. If you don't get a response to that follow-up email, I would move on. The reason behind that is many times when you send out a warm email and you get no response, it doesn't mean they're not interested. There is a chance that the reason you haven't received a response is that it just got lost in their inbox. It didn't get filtered as spam or anything like that. It's just, it was a particularly busy day. It landed in their inbox that day and it just got pushed down and they just didn't see it, or they had other fires and they just didn't get to it. So by following up 1 or 2 weeks later, you're just trying to see, okay, was it a timing issue maybe? And you know, let me try one more time just in case. And if you don't get a response then, the reason I say move on is at this point, we're just trying to give you momentum and to keep you from stalling. We want to keep you moving. So let's move on to the next prospect. At this point, it's really more about practice and about getting some activity than it is about optimizing your efforts. Once you're more experienced, once you have some clients, there is something to be said for, I got two more steps to that follow-up process I just described. I won't even get into that here because it's really not relevant. At this point, I would just say one follow-up, and then move on to the next one. The good news is there's an abundance of prospects out there. So think of it as throwing spaghetti at the wall in a very strategic way, the right kind of spaghetti and the right kind of wall. And beyond that, there's no reason to try to optimize at this point. And that's also cool. That addresses the second part of your question, the fear of coming off as being a pest or desperate. So that way one follow-up is good. Now, and I talk about this in session 8 as well, if you do get a positive response, but it's a timing issue right now, what do I mean by that? a response that says, "Hey, Cheryl, thanks for reaching out. We don't really have a need right now, but I'll keep your information handy just in case." Something along those lines. Those are actually very common responses. I consider that a positive response because it tells me that they do writing and they might have a need, and he or she even said, "Hey, look, whether or not they're actually keeping that information handy, it doesn't really matter. The fact that they said that tells me that there's someone who might have a need at some point." And in that case, that's when I consider, suggest moving them to a nurturing follow-up list. And nurturing meaning you're staying in touch in a relevant, value-added way every 2 months or so, sending them a quick note, "Hey, I came across this week, some stats on, you know, the impact of case studies in your industry," or something like that. Whatever you find, and the value of the content isn't as important as it is to send something that shows that it's relevant to them, and just keeping your name top of mind. So if somebody who responds positively but they're just not ready, then move them to your nurturing list. All right. I don't see any raised hands. I'll just give you guys a few seconds just to make sure I don't miss anybody. No. Okay. Cool. So here's the good news. This week we got two calls. Since I missed last week being out, we're on Thursday, 2 days from today, at same time, 1 o'clock Eastern time. So I'd love for you to join us. Again, depending on where you are right now, whether you're just starting with us or you're somewhere in the middle or toward the end, the important thing is just to keep moving. If you find that you've lost momentum or you feel a little lost, go back and figure out where you stopped. You know, where do we need to pick it back up? And just set a goal. Hey, by the end of this week, I will go back to session 5, and I'm going to pick it up where I left off, and I think I was halfway through it, but I'm just going to start at the beginning. Just don't worry. Don't beat yourself up. Just start back where you left off. Set a goal. Set a deadline. If it helps to have an accountability friend, somebody who can check in on you, it doesn't have to be somebody in this program. It could be somebody, you know, a good friend of yours where you live, or somebody you can email and say, "Listen, I need help with this. I need you to hold me accountable. Would you mind? This is my deadline that it's self-imposed for Friday. Can you check in on me on Friday and make sure that I did it?" I know that can be very, very motivating. So just another idea to help you stay moving. So with that, guys, we'll close it out today. Be back on Thursday, same time, and let's keep the conversation going in the forum. I'm here for you, help you out, and support you in any way I can. Let's get you that first paying client. We'll talk with you guys on Thursday. Take care.